Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
I kept hearing a phrase. And I wasn't sure if it was the bee venom of the Holy Ghost, because I got stung like 30 times in the face. If you know what that means, then great. If you don't, I'm not talking metaphorically. I'm a beekeeper and I got hammered yesterday. Just shaking off bee venom and not feeling so well. Unusual. But I kept hearing the phrase out of Revelation chapter 3, which reads, "I'm coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take your crown." I kept hearing the phrase, don't let go of your crown. Don't let go of your crown. I'd go to sleep and I hear, "Don't let go of your crown." I'm like, okay, I won't. I go back to sleep and doze off and study and pray, working on different messages. And I just, "Don't let go of your crown." I know the text. "Don't let go of your crown." So I'm like, "Lord, I have a word from the Lord for you. Don't let go of your crown. Don't do it." It's Revelation chapter 3. You can turn there. Beautiful. Beautiful Jesus. Beautiful Jesus. I don't know how it is for others. I just know that had powerful visitations of the Lord since the time I got saved. And I've said it before, it wasn't, you know, great coffee that kept me at the church. It's this presence of the Lord, power of God, word of God, fellowship, yes. Friends, relationship, yes. Discipleship, studying God's word, yes. But there is nothing like the presence of the Lord. It's nothing like your presence, God. It's nothing like your presence. If you need healing, just reach up and receive it right now. There's like a river of God's power just rolling over the whole top of the whole congregation. A river of power, a river of healing, a river of deliverance. What do you need? What do you have need of? You don't have because you don't ask. And when you ask amiss, the word of God says. I just tell you, as a pastor, in moments like this, I don't want to mess it up. We've had so much services where there's so much man in it. I mean, here necessarily, but maybe. I just want more of God. Anybody else? You want more of God? Pentecostals, we're always looking for some manifestation or something to happen. It's a beautiful thing when God just does it. And he uses men. He uses women. There's an urgency because he's coming back. That's what I get from that. I'm coming soon. There's an urgency. Every generation has had an expectancy of him coming. Even when he arose and the 500 saw him ascend, they had an expectancy. Why do you look for the living among the dead? They had an expectancy. In the same way that you saw him rise, you will see him return. He's coming back. And every generation that was on fire held their hearts before the Lord like he was going to come back any moment. You know, this could be the night that he comes back. He could come back while we're here right now. He could come back. He said, well, all this hasn't happened. Well, what do you know? Somebody said, well, they need to rebuild the third temple. I was in Israel, Temple Institute. They've got the ashes of the red. They have the red heifer. I don't know if they've made ashes out of the heifer yet, but I don't know. There is some theological truth to that. I also know they could snap up the tabernacle of Moses in hours and have the third temple in the model of the tabernacle instantly, just like that. So we stand on the precipice of the close of all time. There's a great harvest that has to come in. So many people getting saved, so many getting healed, and so many falling away. Romans 13, verse 11, the hour has already come for you to awake from your slumber, because your salvation is nearer now than when you first believed. Matthew 24, you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour you do not expect. Live in that place of expectancy. Hold on to what you have. You say, well, what do we have? A lot. Hebrews 10 and 23, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. For he who promised is faithful. We have faith in Jesus. We have salvation. Revelation 12, 11, we overcome him, the devil, by overcome him, the devil, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. We have a testimony that cannot be refuted. Undeniable evidence of him delivering us and saving us and healing us. Raise your hand if you got a testimony. If you don't have one, stick around. You'll have one soon. We have a spiritual inheritance, 2 Timothy 1 and 13. What you've heard from me, keep as a pattern of sound teaching. Listen, there's a spiritual inheritance we have here that's very, very rich. You don't always get that, but by the grace of God, we have it. So that no one takes your crown. The crown refers to your victor's crown, refers to your reward. Shocking to me that somebody could take my reward. Some of you don't even know there is a reward. There's a reward. Victor's crown talks about it. It's possible to lose, neglect, to drift, to allow others to influence us so that you could lose out. I don't want to do that. Lift your hands if you don't want to lose your reward. My. Let no one take your crown. Behold, I'm coming soon. Let no one take your crown. It's urgency of his return. And at the same time, there's a thief around. There's a thief who wants to steal your crown, wants to take your reward, wants to seduce you, wants to pull you in to the things of lust and pride and greed. Second John 1:8, watch out. But he say, watch out. Watch out that you don't lose what you've worked for, but that you may be rewarded fully. 1 Corinthians 9, Paul says he disciplines himself so he's not disqualified from the race after preaching to others. I don't know about you, but that's a terrifying thought. I think about Dallas, who's lost, I think it's four major men of God, churches of 10, 15, 20,000 people wiped out. I don't want to do that. Come on, somebody say, I don't want to do that. Paul said, I don't want to be a castaway. I don't want to lose. I don't want to lose my race. And he goes on, he talks to others like in Galatians. Who cut in on you? Who cut in on you that you would lose out? I mean, that's terrifying to me. Let me read to you a scripture. What an intense night. Second John, turn there, please. Thank you. Second John chapter 1 and verse 7. If you're all there in Second John, I do believe we have it on the screen also. Second John 1:9. I say this because many deceivers who did not acknowledge Jesus Christ has come in the flesh have gone out into the world. Any such a person is a deceiver and an antichrist. Watch out. Everybody say, watch out. Watch out. You don't lose what you've worked for. There it is again, what you've worked for. But that you may be fully rewarded. Anyone who runs ahead and does not continue in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever continues in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. Go to Philippians chapter 2. Verse 14 to 16, do everything without grumbling and arguing so that you may be blameless and pure children of God without fault in a warped, crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. So in other words, see, there's a possibility of not being able to hold on firmly. You could not hold firmly. You could hold loosely. I was... I'm being healed of a shoulder injury. I'm mostly healed. I'm probably 90% healed. One of the keys is not only good wisdom from Dr. David and therapists that helped me, but I had a preacher say, you need to get this little swirly shoulder thing. I'm like, yeah, that looks like some gimmick. I'm not doing that. Then I heard it from somebody else. And then, of course, my phone was listening, I'm sure, and it started coming up on Instagram everywhere. And I thought, okay, I'm just going to get it because I'm 7 months in a shoulder injury and not really getting better. So I get this thing that's over 40 days. I thought the number was right, 40 days, and you get healed after 40 days. I'm like, Jesus, can you just heal me now? And it was a process of over 40 days. You start with a small little ball and you swirl it around like this. 30 times this way, 30 times this way, then you rotate 30 this way, 30 this way, then this way, 30 this way, 30 way. It's rotator cuff healing, and then up here, and then down here. And as I did that with both shoulders after the first, you know, week with this stupid little ball, I almost hit myself a number of times. Definitely almost hit my dog. It was burning. And then, you know, it just burned, but it was good. It was a good kind of burn. And after a week, I went up to the next one. 10 days for every ball, 4 balls. Went up to the next one. And I could do that. And then I went to the next one. 10 days later, I'm on ball 3. I decided to check out ball 1 after that. It was so easy and pathetic. I had strengthened my shoulder. Now I'm using this heavier weight. Then I go all the way to ball 4, which is like, it's pretty hefty. So I've been swirling that around, and I graduated after that and put ball 4 and ball 1 on. I decided that might be a little over the top. I could sort of hear Dr. David's voice about being conservative, so I took the extra ball off and left on ball 4. And I wasn't really paying attention because I'd gotten really good at it. I mean, I'm like, whoa. I'm swirling that thing, and I've got it going on, right? I got it going on. So my right hand is a little bit stronger than my left, and I was doing my left, and I didn't hold on quite that good, and I let it go, and like David slinged my wife. Pastor Karen took a shot. I was just so grateful it didn't hit her in the face. I wasn't concentrating. If you're going to hold on to your crown, you have to make a plan to do it. You've got to purposely, intentionally, this little shoulder thing, I wish I should have brought it, but illustration didn't come until right now. You've got to hold on to that thing because it's got some weight and can fly right out of your hand. That's what he's saying. Hold on. Hold firmly to the word of life. That will be able to boast on the day of Christ. Go to Galatians chapter 2. Verse 2. I went in response to the revelation, meeting privately with those esteemed as leaders. I presented to them the gospel that I preach among the Gentiles. I wanted to be sure. Listen closely. This is Paul writing to the Galatians saying, I had this revelation. I'm preaching this gospel to the Gentiles. And I went to go talk to all the elders. I went to go talk to the apostles. I went back to Jerusalem to make sure I wasn't. Look what he says. I wanted to be sure I was not running and had not running my race in vain. In other words, there are things that can cause you to lose your crown. This is the Apostle Paul. So why would the Lord wake me up in my bee stupor of venom, warn me? So I'm like, okay, do I have anything going on where I could maybe lose my crown? And I'm thinking, not that I'm aware of. That's a great answer, because we are oftentimes blind and deceived. And I've known many people that have been deceived, including myself. Just because you started a race doesn't mean you're going to get the crown. Let me show you just for a moment. And we've got great announcements. I want you to see that Easter is just ahead, this Sunday. But I'm going to stay in the text. I'm going to preach this thing. For the love of God, don't let me forget to receive the offering. Amen. Wouldn't want to rob you. It's three different things that will screw you up, mess you up, cause you to lose hold of the ball, cause you to lose your crown. Number one, I didn't give you notes, but I'd encourage you to take them. Number one, wrong doctrine. Doctrine is what you believe about God. What you believe about God is the most single most important thoughts you have in your head. Because if you have a distortion about what you think about God, you will end up distorted. You will end up twisted. Many, many years ago, ministering on the inside of an acute mental hospital, a mental hospital for acute patients, it was fascinating to me how many people, I mean, it was everyone that I came in contact with, had all these strange, distorted ideas about God. Didn't believe in God, but they believed in other things. Craziness, just crazy. And they were in a place of craziness. If you have crazy thoughts about God, you're going to end up crazy. You'll end up with mental anguish and problems and difficulties. So oftentimes people are trying to trim the fruit off of their tree and have better fruit. You got to get the root. The root, as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. If you have wrong doctrine, you're going to end up jacked up. So he went to Jerusalem in Galatians 2 so to make sure he wasn't messed up. Are you on track? Or is your walk with God on track? Are you on track? Yes, I am. How do you know that? Do you have relationship with people that are willing to tell you, you're weird? Has anybody ever told you you're weird? One of the most offensive things I ever had happen, raise your hand, okay. One of the most offensive things I've ever had happen was having somebody tell me that I need to brush my teeth. I never would have met Karen, because if you know Karen, there's no way she would have even looked at me if I was filled with tartar and plaque. And, you know, remnants of, I don't know, I'm sure my mom's cringing online right now. My mama taught me right, but I got out of home and just forgot. I forgot about, I don't know what happened. I got off the beam. Ended up into deception. And occasionally I would brush my teeth back then by my shirt. They would feel really fuzzy and gross, so I would just pull my shirt out and just be like, buff the fronts. Oh, yeah. Also didn't wear deodorant. Might have been a little bit of hippie influence there. But I'm blessed today that somebody came to me and said, hey, Bracken. I'm like, yeah. I'm like, dude, your teeth are gross, bro. And your breath. And I think you have a disease. Your gums hurt? I'm like, kind of. Like, yeah, that's gingivitis. See how they're red? You see? You need to brush, and you should probably go to the dentist. Michael, yeah. And then the other thing, what deodorant you use? I use this. What do you use? I'm like, Oh, you see me now. My teeth are brushed. I'm wearing deodorant. I'm just telling you back then I didn't. Some of you are so messed up. Now, I'm just using that. You have ideas that are like not wearing deodorant, brushing your teeth, and they're going to end up defiling other people. And your teeth will fall out. Had that not happened, Pastor Tim, Pastor Karen never would have seen me. I'm confident of that. She can be a little bit of a germaphobe, and there's no way. The Galatians were in trouble because they'd have been affected by a group of people that are called Judaizers. The Judaizers believed that you had to like become a Jew, and they pushed circumcision. They pushed all of this on people before, so they believed that you had to do all of that before you could become a Christian. And if you think my preaching is aggressive, go read the book of Galatians where he says those Judaizers say, I'm paraphrasing, that you need to be circumcised. Bunch of idiots. I wish they'd go the whole way and cut everything off. That's Galatians. That's not me. Don't get mad at me. He said, I wish that they would just emasculate themselves. That's how violent he was about it, because it was robbing from people, killing people. Wrong doctrine will destroy you. Somebody said, I don't like making distinctions. You better grow up, brother, sister. You got to make distinctions because there's an Antichrist out there, and you've got to really understand and know what's true, what's not true. Lift your hands to heaven and say, I'm not letting anybody take my crown. Galatians 5, I already mentioned it, verse 7. You're running a good race. Who cut in on you and keep you from obeying the truth? Did anybody see that track meet with the baton and all that? And I don't know what the truth is, but it sure looked like that one girl was beating the fool out of the other one. Anybody ever see that? She got ahead of her. She's like, whack, whack. She said it got stuck. And I don't know. Looked like she was beating her with a baton to me. That's what wrong doctrine will do. Galatians have been affected by those clowns. And there are clowns on the internet. There are clowns out there, people masquerading, trying to teach people that which is distorted. And you want to watch out doctrine. Doctrine will cause you to lose your crown if your doctrine's wrong. So go to 2 John 1. Again, verse 8, watch out that you don't lose what you've worked for. So don't be deceived by false doctrine. The second way you can lose your crown, here's the second way. You want a second way? Here's number 2. Your attitude. Uh-oh. Wrong attitude. Philippians 2:14, do everything without grumbling and arguing, complaining. Your heart can get hard. Corinthians talks about don't grumble and murmur as some of them did and release a destroying angel. Literally, you can release it. There's a demonic entity that you can release on your life by being a murmuring, complaining, argumentative grumbler. And it literally can release death on you. Say, no, I'm not. I'm under the blood. If you're under the blood, you ain't talking like that. You don't have an attitude like that. You got to change your attitude. Everybody say, change it. Lord, help me. Say, Lord, help me. You got to have love. 1 John 2:9. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother or sister is still in darkness. So if you hate somebody, there's something wrong with your salvation. You need to be healed. You need to be set free. There's got to, you don't have to like everybody. You have to love them. You said those people. I don't like spending time with them. They're filled with drama. I don't like being around them. Anybody allergic to drama? I was brother drama back in the day. Honestly, I didn't know else. That's how it was. Everything needed to be a roller coaster. The one minute I'd be like, yes, yeah. I mean, it was just roller coaster like that. And life wasn't normal if it wasn't a roller coaster. It just wasn't. Some of you have the same. Don't raise your hand. Some of you have that. It's just filled with drama. And after I got set free from that, I'm still allergic to it. Anybody else allergic to drama? I'm very even. I'm up. I'm not all around. I don't like drama. I don't like all of the, you know, days of our lives, days of the idiots. I just can't stand it. But you still need to love people. Doesn't mean you need to spend every waking moment with them, but you still need to love them. Come on, bump your neighbor and say, I love you, brother or sister, in Christ. Go ahead, tell them, in Christ. Some of the guys are like, sup? I ain't telling you nothing. Again, you don't have to like everyone. You might not be drawn to spend lots of time with people, and you don't have to. But you got to love them. 1 John 1:3, we proclaim what we have seen and what we've heard so that you may have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and the Son. Wow. We write this to make our joy complete. He goes on to describe this wonderful fellowship. Verse 5, this is a message we have heard from him and declare to you, God is light, and in him there's no darkness at all. If we claim, everybody say if. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in darkness, we lie. So you can't say that you love God and live, continue to live a lifestyle that's separate from what is true. When I said continue, because we're all in process. Sanctification is daily reckoning the death and life of Jesus in your life, daily reckoning your life dead to your flesh, alive to God. It's making no provision for the flesh with regards to its lust. It's putting on the new man. It's living in him. It's daily declaring you're a new creature. You're a new creature in Christ. The old is gone. The new has come. And declaring the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. And it's daily saying, ah, 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 you're dead. You got to put your flesh under. And if you don't learn how to do that, you know, you're going to have problems. I've said it before, it's funny, but it's also true. I made my kids eat spinach and green leafy vegetables so they wouldn't be smoking weed. You're not getting the connection. Do I need to tie it together? If you don't learn how to put your flesh down, you'll yield to your flesh the rest of your life. And we got lots of stories of Danny throwing up and all of that. And he's serving God, never smoked weed, never will. Wrong actions, number 3. So what's the first one? You're taking notes. Wrong doctrine. What's number 2? Wrong attitude. These things will cause you to lose your crown. Number 3, wrong actions. 1 Corinthians 9, go there with me, please. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24. I know you guys just want to go back to the hallelujah chorus and 24 elders. Now that the Lord's taking you apart, what you want to do is you want to repent. Repent. Aren't you glad you came to church tonight? I am too. I am. I am as well. 1 Corinthians 9:24. Do you not know that in a race all runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way to get the prize. Say that. Run in such a way to get the prize. Verse 25, anyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last. But we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Verse 26, therefore I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. There is something far more than a crown from man. There's far more than a trophy, far more than that incredible trophy or Boone and Crockett. It's far more than all of that. There's a reward that comes from God and no one can take it and it'll never rot. It'll never rust. It's a reward that comes from God. It's called a crown. There's all kinds of crowns. You go do a study on Victor's crown, the overcomer's crown, the martyr's crown. There's all kinds of crowns in the book of Revelation. And God wants you to run your race, run your life, live your life in such a way so that you get the crown and nobody steals it from you. How can you do that? Well, you want to have right doctrine, you want to have a right attitude, and you got to have right actions, and you have to build your life I train very hard. And the reason I do it is not so that I can look good, although I don't mind that so much, but that is totally the flesh. Hello. As long as my wife thinks that I look good, that's fine. I do it more than all of those other reasons that are fleshly. And hello, I do it because when I'm training, it puts my flesh down. I'm a freak in the gym. I'm finally healed enough to get back to where I love training, which is I can't do anymore. And I talk to myself. I have headphones on and high worship. I'm like, hallelujah. Like, do it again. No, you can't do it again. Yes, you can. Do it again. 5-4. Shut up. No, I can do it. Shut up. Yes, you can. No, I can't. Yes, you can. That's what goes on inside my head. Except I don't argue so much with myself anymore. So I've disciplined myself, but I count myself down. I'm like, let's go. Let's go. I grab it. 5-4. 3-2-1. And I'm going. Even if I feel like I'm going to throw up and I can't do anymore, I push myself like that. Why would you do that? It's far more than just so I could just be in shape. It's about disciplining my physical body to submit to my spirit. I want to be led by my spirit. I'm going to live out of my spirit. I'm not going to live according to the flesh. I'm not going to live according to the carnal mind. I'm going to continue to put my flesh down. I'm going to continue to live and run this race. I'm going to love my wife, never be divorced. I'm going to be a blessing to you, blessing to my kids till he splits the eastern sky. I'm going to go for 120 years preaching, praying, prophesying. There's a reward that God has for me, and he has it for you too, but you've got to lay hold of it. Don't let that thing slip out of your hand and kill somebody. First John 3:10, and this is how we know we're child of God, that we are children of God, and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does what is right, pardon me. Anyone who does not do what is right is not God's child. Now, I'm not going to put any cinnamon and sugar up on that. If you don't do right, then you are most likely not his child. It says you're not his child right there. When I say most likely, I'm still trying to. There's a little cinnamon. We'll take the cinnamon off. If you're not living right, he said, I'm still struggling with things. Good. Keep fighting. But if you just do that stuff over and over and there's no conscience, there's nothing, then you're not born again. You're not born again. You're not saved. Hello? Bump your neighbor and say, is he talking to you? Because I don't know what's going on right now. Talk to your other neighbor. Come on, say, hey, give me $50. It'll make me feel better. This is uncomfortable. I'm going to read that again. It's so comforting, isn't it? Isn't it? Come on, what's it? You know what a litmus test is? A test where it's an acid or a base. Take this thing and put a litmus test on your life. Are you actually in Christ or are you not? Are you living for God or are you not? He said, is it that black and white? Well, yeah, it is actually. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. 24 elders, 4 living creatures, everyone crying. Very good. 1 John 1. Oh my. Verse 5. We have a message you heard and declared to you. God is light, in him there's no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet we walk in darkness, we lie, and we do not live out the truth. And the book of John has a threefold acid test. Right doctrine, keeping God's commands, right actions, right attitude, loving one another. All right. Let me land the plane. Know what you believe. Why would we have a push to 200 life groups, Pastor Tammy? Why would we have Discover Track and classes and courses and the King's School of Ministry? Why would we have a King's Christian School? Why would we do all of that? Because the knowledge of God is important. And you need to have right doctrine. And I've found people are lazy. How do you know that? Because I am one. And I have to fight against that And to just say that God's word is not God's word because you heard it from some idiot online, and to swallow that, listen, study, why? Prove to me that Jesus is the Christ. Prove to me that Jesus is the Messiah. Prove to me the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, three, hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one God. Prove to me that he's one God within the understanding of the one God. There's three distinct people, thank you, within the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, all of them are God. That's called the doctrine of the Trinity, coined by Tertullian. It's not in Scripture. Can you prove it? Why is the Word of God the Word? I don't know. It's because the Word of God, my auntie told me it's the Word of God, and that's just the Word of God. I believe it's the Bible. It's a holy Bible. That's nice. That's good parroting. I mean, I praise God for your auntie, your grandma, praise God, but can you prove it? Can you prove it? We've sent students off to college and they get destroyed by atheists. They get destroyed by secular humanists because they have no idea actually why God's word is God's word, why Jesus really is God, why you need to be born again, on and on and on and on. Doctrine, doctrine, doctrine. The sinfulness of the depravity of man. On and on and on. Doctrine is important. It should be preached. It should be taught. It should be demonstrated. It should be talked about at your dinner table, talked about at the breakfast table. It should be talked about in the morning. It should be talked about at lunch. It should be talked about at night. It's very, very important doctrine. Doctrine's important. And if somebody has an attitude problem, you need to adjust that. Now, it's hard to know if somebody has an attitude problem unless you have a relationship with people. I mean, praise God for the Holy Spirit rebuking you and correcting you, but you can have an attitude problem so intensely that you don't hear the correction from God anymore. But when brother comes up to you and says, dude, do you brush your teeth? Let me see. Very nice. And somebody comes up to me and says, man, you got a problem. You got an attitude problem. You need to brush your teeth. I'm just using that as an example. I've been at lunches with pastors years ago. Hasn't happened in a long time. Sitting at a lunch, the waitress is a pretty waitress, waits on us. And as she walks off, I watch him like, I mean, his eyes are popping out of his head. He's undressing the woman as she walks away. I'm like, dude, you all right? He's like, yeah, what? I'm like, you're looking a little too long there, bro. What are you saying? I'm saying you're looking too long. Are you saying I said, yeah, to me, it looked like, and we're not friends anymore. He backslid to hell, doesn't pastor a church anymore. You need to have people. Hello, you need to have people. How are you going to know you got an attitude problem if you don't have somebody like, I don't want to lose my crown. Come on, lift your hands to heaven. Keys, please, brother, anointed one. Know what you believe. Know what you believe, and believe it because it's based on biblical truth and reality. Many have been raised in a home where there wasn't real love. You need to learn real love. How are you going to learn that? Through God's word and through being in a church that's filled with real love. Know what real love is. Model it. Learn to model that at home. Surround yourself with people that'll love you deeply. My wife and I try to model that. It's not like we're like, okay, what are we going to model tonight? That's not what we're doing. It should come naturally out of your life. My wife and I passionately discuss things, and I have to repent frequently. Oh, I'm the only one? We don't let the sun go down on our wrath because we know somewhere in the world the sun is up. No, I'm just saying. We put time frames on it. We sort things out. We agree to disagree sometimes, and most of the time we're in agreement. And we try to model that because it's been modeled to us. 1 Timothy 5 and 1 and 2. Don't rebuke an older man harshly, but exhort him as he were a father. I've read this morning in our morning, in my morning time with the Lord. Treat younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, and younger women as sisters with absolute purity. And so you might not have grown up in a home where there's real love. So how are you going to find that? You have to learn. You have to learn that. Where are you going to learn it? Right here. But if you don't get it plugged in and grafted in, you aren't part of the community, but then you're not going to learn.
Hey, guys.
It's good to see the Morris tonight. It's good to see all of your beautiful faces. Come on, bump your neighbor and say, are you getting anything tonight? I'm gonna keep my crown. Come on, say that. I'm going to keep my crown. Treat younger men as brothers. Younger women as sisters. Absolute purity. Why would Paul write that? Because some people, listen closely, some people have come to church to take advantage of weak-willed, needy, broken women and men. Hello, hello. Just in case you were sleeping and didn't hear that. Some people come to church to take advantage of weak-willed, hurting women and weak-willed, hurting, broken men. And they come to take advantage of you. Everybody say, don't do it. You know, I'm mostly sweet. I am. I'm kind by the grace of God. My wife tells me what I'm not. If somebody comes to mess with anybody in this church, I have a whole nother side, which has come out on occasion because I love you and I've committed my life to live before you in purity and holiness and righteousness and truth. To teach you right doctrine by the grace of God, to have a good attitude, which I always and help and always had, but he helps me and my wife helps me, the Holy Spirit. Raise your hand if you've always had a perfect attitude. Liars, go to hell. Don't put your hand out. No, you didn't. And to love deeply from the heart, we need to do that. If anybody comes in here to try to cause problems or hurt people, God help them. We will minister to them in a very special way. Our love concepts have been shaped many times by movies. Your concept of love needs to be shaped out of the Word. It needs to be shaped in the Word, not movies. People are not playthings and toys to find pleasure with. If he's with you and doesn't want to get married, Lord, am I going to dive into that? Whew. Hold on to your crown. Don't let go of your crown. Don't let go of your crown for anybody, for no one, for no man, for no woman, for no one. Don't let go of your crown for the government, for anybody. Don't let go of your crown. And if a church tries to steal it from you, don't go there. Leave. Not every church is healthy. There's a lot of broken, hurting churches. This is a healthy one, and it'll stay that way if we keep doing this. Can you say amen? Lastly, we can control ourselves. Believe that God can help you break whatever habit you have that's a hold of you. Believe that God can help you. You can live from your spirit, not your body. Give yourself to the study of God's Word. Give yourself, understand the 16 fundamental truths. That is the core of our doctrine. Understand it. You're like, 16 what? Right, I know. 16 fundamental truths. You can go look it up on our website. Go look it up. Have a family study. Go through all 16 of those and read it and understand it. And you'll get to a place like, I wonder what that means. Well, then you find out. You can come. I'll help you. We've got great leaders. You can, but don't just listen to some idiot waving a flag of Israel, teaching you some stuff that's nonsensical or waving some other crazy flag. You can't test the process. You can't test what their life is like watching online. You have no idea what they're doing. It's like the guy that comes to me. Years ago, this happened. I'm getting married. I'm like, well, congratulations. Who is it? Oh, her name's Susan. I'm like, oh, okay. Does she go to the church? Oh, no, no. I'm like, okay. Where is she? Oh, she's in Atlanta. I'm like, oh, okay. How'd you guys meet? Oh, we met online. I'm like, oh, God. Because Susan is really a 450-pound a 450-pound woman on the other side of the internet connection, seducing you, or a 450-pound man acting as Susan, seducing you. Jabba the Hutt is in front of a computer screen. And then I was gentler with that, but I said, please tell me you didn't give her any money. He says, I know, of course I did. I'm like, okay. How much money? She was in real trouble and she needed a few thousand dollars. So I gave it to her. I'm flying there to go meet her. I thought, oh my God. Well, he flew. Susan never showed up. So he got, Jabba the Hutt seduced him a little bit more, got some more money. No, this happens. Real people. This. Real people. You can see somebody. You can see his amazing hair. You can see his teeth. It's real human. Human being. Real people. You can see how you're sitting next to your wife and how you guys hold hands and kind of sit next to each other. Just seem more kind of like warm and fuzzy. And see all your little beautiful children running around and how they love God and how they have incredible honor towards me. You too. You know things are right at home when you see that. You can see it in the face of their children. You say, well, my children don't have that. Well, maybe you need to adjust some things. And there are wild kids and strong-willed kids. Please don't take it too far. You can't have real church online. You can learn, but that's not real church and that's not real fellowship. This will never be over because you need one-on-one connection with people. Otherwise, you can lose your crown.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you.